bad to ride when we run out of seats. Good. Yeah. Welcome. We're glad to have so many of you visitors here. Who's here that we haven't seen before? Don't be embarrassed. Where are you from?
We just moved to Ruskin.
Did you? From where?
Overseas.
Oh, welcome. We're glad to have you. Okay. Who lives near Ruskin?
Well, I'm Valrico.
Valrico. Carlene's from Valrico and Julie's from Valrico. The two of them.
Suzanne's from Ruskin.
Oh, and Suzanne's from Ruskin. Riverview. They used to grow tomatoes in Ruskin. I don't know. They probably grow houses now. Welcome. Glad to have so many of you here. This is the last time I'll be wearing these vestments here in the United States. I'm going to take this set with me to Uganda and then leave it there with the priests who have a very rocky vineyard to tend in comparison to the ease with which we, the priests here in America, have. As I was preparing this, or looking to prepare a homily on the saints of North America, and there's so much material you could come up with. We have the martyrs, Juvenali and Peter the Aleut. We have St. Innocent, the enlighteners of the Aleut. We have St. Raphael of Brooklyn. And, of course, we have St. Alexis of Wilkes-Barre, who's relic we have here, and St. Herman of Alaska, the patron of our saint, of our church. And as I was preparing this, I came across this address that was given on the occasion of the canonization of St. Herman of Alaska. And the address was given by none other than Bishop Dimitri, Bishop of Berkeley. That's how far back that goes. He was the bishop for only a short period of time and then ultimately, as everybody knows, or maybe you don't, he became the first bishop of the Diocese of the South and now is enjoying his retirement. So after I read it, I thought the best thing would be to read this to you and enjoy it as our thought for today. And so he first quotes from the letter to the Hebrews. "Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." He then went on, the bishop then went on to say, "This passage from the Epistle to the Hebrews, which is from the reading for All Saints Sunday, is appropriate for our consideration on this occasion because it covers the main points of the Church's attitude and teachings concerning her saints. The Church on earth lives in a loving fellowship with the saints who have already run their race, who have fought the good fight, and have received their crown. This is what the apostle means when he says that they are compassed about, that we are compassed about, or surrounded by the witness martyrs or saints. We are assured both of their presence and their interest in us. In fact, they are concerned about the whole world and its salvation. For," and now he quotes from Luke 15, "there is joy in heaven over the repentance of one sinner." It is striking, too, that the writer refers to the multitude of the saints as a cloud, for a cloud covers, as do the prayers and good deeds of the saints, the sins of many, just as the good example and deeds of men like Father Herman canceled out the evil deeds of the rest of the colonists, traders, and settlers. And that's what St. Herman particularly was known for, his silent witness. He's taking care of the poor, taking care of the orphans particularly, leading the Christian life. And it was an indictment against the Russian-American fur trading company that was exploiting the native Alaskans. He says, "The prayer of a righteous man availeth much," quoting from James, "even that which is offered for the unrighteous." Further, and this is the most important point, "it is because we have this cloud of witnesses that we have any hope of running the race that is set before us. We have their example to imitate, and we have their guidance, intercession, protection, and loving fellowship. In spite of the profound truth of all that was said above about the example and intercession of the saints, There is no doubt that a general neglect of the saints and their place in the church is fast becoming characteristic of our contemporary church life. This development may be due to a number of different influences, but whatever the cause may be, it is of vital importance that we realize that Orthodoxy's traditional approach to saints and sainthood is an integral part of our understanding of Christ's way. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to reconcile men to God and to show, by taking on human nature and by living the life of a man, what man's response to God was supposed to be. We are convinced that if there were no saints, the way of Christ would be an abstraction, an ideal impossible and unattainable for men. Christ promised to send and did send the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to, quote, endow his apostles with power from on high, quoting from Acts, to sanctify the church and to guide her in all truth. Holiness is the real proof that Christ did send the Spirit and that the Spirit fills and permeates the church. The reality of the saints demonstrates that the holiness to which Christ calls us is a definite possibility, and that in all generations since the time of Christ, holiness has been attained in spite of all the world's evil and all the temptations and obstacles that would keep Christians from reaching their goal. Holiness is our primary vocation as Christians in this 20th century. In the face of all the greed, power, madness, collapse of morality, cruel exploitation, and the loss of practically every spiritual value in life, although we are concerned here with a saint who fell asleep over 100 years ago, we see on reading the history of St. Hermann that the human failings, the sinfulness with which he was confronted, are the same basic sicknesses of mankind today. The canonization of a saint in our time is of great significance. And first, it shows that Christ's church is just as convinced now as it always has been of the possibility of sainthood. Further, it is evidence that the Holy Spirit still works in the church, for it is the Spirit that has brought us to the realization, the recognition, and finally the canonization of St. Hermann. The church in America was at that time the first year of her official autocephaly, and it faces many serious problems. As a matter of fact, for many different reasons, she is weakened and ineffectual and in position. For one thing, society's attitudes easily become the attitudes of the members of the church because they are tempted by the desire to be just like everyone else. But the generation in which we live is faithless and perverse generation, like the one that Jesus himself rebuked. Ours is a cynical generation, and sad as it may be, the cynicism has found its way into the church. Particularly the world's cynical judgment of the idea of holiness is sometimes reflected in church life. In general, I think it's no exaggeration to say that saints have come to mean very little to the average Orthodox Christian in our country. There is no better medicine, however, for a cynical generation such as ours than the glorification of a saint. What we are doing here may seem like utter foolishness for a world that prides itself on its scientific attitude, but notice how society has taken an interest in this canonization and respects us for our seriousness. The world, without knowing it, perhaps needs and wants holiness, for holiness means wholeness, integrity, meaning, real humility, because humility is real only when it knows and loves God. Therefore, this must be far more than a series of impressive ceremonies. It must be the very source of inspiration that will set the direction of our Orthodox Church in America for her future. And thus we have St. Hermann's icon here in the church as a reminder for us, to set for us that same tone and that same direction. St. Hermann came to America as a missionary. He had not only the task of preaching the gospel to the natives of this land, but he also had to protect them from people who already had the Christian faith. He truly followed Christ. He took up his cross and followed him faithfully. And those whom he taught and served were convinced of his sanctity even during his lifetime. This canonization can do much for our Orthodox Church in America. We are assured that one more witness has joined the great cloud of witnesses And we have another intercessor before the throne of God, and in this case, a special intercessor because he was truly interested in America and its evangelization, obeying the commission of Christ to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thus, we have also a special example, not only in this, his personal holiness, but in the very purpose for which he came to America. Very simply, his purpose must become our purpose, and his goals our goals. God has guided us to a new position of responsibility in two things. We have taken the name of America and consequently the responsibility before Christ for America's salvation. And then he has given us a saint as both example and protector. It is now left to us to respond. God grant that we may no longer misunderstand our purpose here. Through the prayers of our Venerable Father Herman, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Amen. And so we hear then the words of our great beloved archpastor. Vladika is a holy man, and maybe one day we will be at his consecration, or canonization, rather. But saints are our cloud of witnesses, as we talked about last week. That's why we adorn the church with so many icons, as they're the witnesses that tell us, just as Archbishop Dimitri points out, it's possible. They led the good life, they kept the faith, they stayed the course, the crown is theirs, and the same is for us. We must stay the course, we must endure, and the crown will be ours. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.